Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Look on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're inside Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. It is bye week before the opening round of the playoffs of the 2013 NFL playoff season, which of course means one thing and one thing only. Game show Thursday! Yes! Woo-hoo. Yes. So I know that Eric Scalavino is very, very pleased to be a part of the program today.
I sure am, and pardon my voice, John. I'm
Are you a little under the weather?
I'm fighting something, yeah.
Yeah?
Have been.
Is that why we have the orange juice and...
And the water, yeah.
And the water. And
I got a little frog in my throat.
Okay. A little fog in the throat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then we'll try to keep it on a low key for you and not get too upset or angry. But we remind you you need to continue to be your same witty self today.
Oh, I'll do my best.
Okay. I figured you probably would. Here's the rundown then for those of you that are uninitiated with the process. We're actually going to talk a little football to open up the show. Strange as that may be, because this is our only live program this week. And then, of course, we'll jump right into, complete and total playoff picture and look at the Patriots, divisional round opponent next week, because frankly, we'll know who the hell they're going to play. And so because of that, today is kind of a fun day, and we're going to talk a little as well about the wild card games coming up in hour number two of the program with pro football guru Russell Baxter. Russell is going to join us in 15 minutes to be our panelist on Game Show Thursday.
Fun.
So Russell will be here. Kevin is here. You're here. And we're going to start off with the football part of it. But just so you know what we do, if you've ever watched the match game on television back in the 1970s when most of us were kids, if we were even alive then, I know some of us in the listening audience might not have even been but just a glint in their parents' eye at that point in time. But if you ever watched that, that's what we like to play. It's a blatant and total steal and grab from my good friend Bobby Valvano from ESPN. He's done this for years, and then I asked him if we could also do this for a local talk show that we did in Providence years ago, and he gave us the blessing and and all that stuff. And so we will look for contestants, and we will pit contestant caller against caller, maybe region of the country against another region of the country. And yes, there are fabulous prizes to win. We're going to give away, obviously, Patriots yearbooks. The media guide, if you will, and then for a grand prize winner, again, a subscription to PFW, Patriots Football Weekly.
Good stuff.
So it's all good, and if you've ever wanted to get it, today's your day to do it. All you got to do is pay attention, and when we ask you to call in to be a contestant, pick up the phone and call in and play. We have sports, mostly, related questions that we ask, and it's basically fill in the blank. And all you have to do is match what you think our panelists will say.
Right, that's the key. You have to think like we
You have think. To think like you, or you have to think like Russell, or you have to think like Kevin.
Which means, in at least my case, you have to think like a wise ass.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much.
Most of the time.
And some of them were probably of the racy variety. There's a little, maybe a little double entendre. Involved here, right? Yep. And if there is, well, hey, you let it go, right? Hey, we have some fun here. We're trying to keep things in relatively good taste overall, but we're going to have some fun with it. So anyway, that's coming up in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, we do have some business of football to talk about. We haven't had a chance, at least in this program, to talk and to recap from Miami this past weekend. I want to take just a couple of moments, running over the 28-0 win. I don't think it's something that we can all get all hot and bothered about, but at the same time, though, Eric, anytime you pitch a shutout, it's got to grab your attention. It's the right time of year to be playing your best football, especially on the defensive side.
Sure. I don't think there's only one thing that could have made Sunday better for New England, and that was if Rob Ninkovich hadn't been hurt. I think that was the only real negative to come out of the game was his injury in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, Houston blowing it again. The shutout, the way they played, everything fell into place the way it had to for New England to get this weekend off. And my only nitpick, and it's not really something you could nitpick because you can't really you can't anticipate that that's going to happen that early in the game, but Ninkovic getting hurt.
So what's the latest on Rob Ninkovic? What do we know today?
Well, the good news is that he did miss yesterday's practice, but he was back out there today. So he was we got to see about 12 minutes of practice,
about
7 or 8 minutes of which were just running sideline to sideline. And by running, I mean jogging, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they got into drills, he was sort of jogging a little bit, loosening up that left leg slash hip, sort of swinging it up and back to get full range of motion kind of thing. And then they were doing a drill with the pass rushers where they didn't let him pass rush. They made him play right tackle and simulate the resistance of a right tackle for, I think it was Trevor Scott was his man,
mm-hmm,
in that drill. But he was getting down in a stance, and he was kicking out of it and doing the, you know, the step block that the,
well, that's
the,
encouraging.
The tackles are. So the fact that he was out there doing things that early, I guess, has to be encouraging. Just
very
a few days after he looked like he was going to be done for the rest of the
season. The way it looked like, we thought, you know, first thing you thought of is, oh, God, knee injury, mm-hmm, right? And then when he got up and started walking gingerly, I knew that that's what it had to be. And then we heard very soon thereafter it was a hip injury.
Yeah.
Still thinking, well, that could be, you know, a labrum tear. It could be anything involved with that. But
yep.
So this is all incredibly encouraging because you want to have your as best as close as possible your full complement of defenders when you're coming off a game like that.
Yeah, and even better news that, like, they could have just given him this whole week off. And then maybe next, you know, hold that mm-hmm, uncertainty out till next week. And then you say, oh, yo, is Ninkovic back? Will he play? The fact that he came back this week, very encouraging for his ability to play in the divisional round.
Okay.
I think. They're just speculating on you know, on history and what we know about players attending practice.
Did we have everybody at practice
we
today?
We did. A rarity, but everybody was there. Tom Brady returned from missing yesterday as well. Dante Hightower, the rookie linebacker, was back. So those are the only three guys missing yesterday. Marquise Cole returned yesterday after missing the last game and the last two practices prior to that. Left pinky was the problem. And everybody was there.
That's excellent. So that's great news.
Yeah.
This is why we fretted and we talked about and fans were hoping, I think, for the most part, this team could get the bye and could earn the bye. And they did get it with a break thanks to the Indianapolis Colts beating Houston last week and the Patriots beating Miami. And you scoot into the two slot and you get the week off. And this is exactly what you play that for. This is you're getting now what you earned, and you earned a chance now to hopefully rest some folks up and get a chance to work on your own issues without so much working on preparing for an opponent, which I think we can all agree still needs to be done. No matter how high an octane you're running on offense or how much you're stuffing them on defense, there are always issues you can work on in order to keep the momentum rolling into the postseason.
They certainly have their share of issues.
Yes, and we do know that. And I don't mean to gloss over all of the ills of this defense, because we've talked about them ad nauseum, I think, throughout the course of this season, that, you know, this team does have defensive issues. They did improve from 31st last year in yards allowed to 25th, I think, this year.
They got much worse.
No. But at the very least, they're not dead last. So statistically, there is an improvement.
Yep.
I think we've seen as well that talent-wise, there has also been an escalation in the speed and the ability on the field. And so I think we're seeing the right thing come around. There is still work to be done. And whether or not that means, you know, more personnel moves in the upcoming offseason, or maybe they, you know, make a trade or two, or maybe they're going to go through the draft again, whatever it might be, there are still moves to make. But they are moving in a direction which should leave you to be somewhat encouraged.
Yeah. Yeah. And health wise, I think at this point, too, the fact that everybody's out there is very important, because all through the year, the Patriots are always one of those teams that has more guys on the injury report than almost anybody else.
All right.
And whether or not that's, you know, there's validity to some of those injuries, you know, that's up to interpretation, I think, sometimes. But no question that having everybody available to practice, to work on all those things that you said they need to work on.
Right.
It's hard to work on them if you're not on the field.
Right.
The fact that everyone's out there is a great sign that they can get as much of that done as possible.
Step in the right direction. All right. I think I know who this is, but let's go to Doc in Denver. Doc, you're in the playbook.
What's going on, buddy?
Blow him up. What's happening? What's happening, Jace? How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. I do have one big football-related question. We do still have playoff games to play, right? Because everybody out here in Denver thinks the Broncos have already won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I figured as much. And as last I checked, Denver still has to play at least one and maybe two.
I mean, they're talking, the newscasters out here are talking, the storyline is Peyton plays Indianapolis in the first game, beats them, avenges last year's playoff loss to the Patriots in the AFC Championship, and then goes to the Super Bowl to beat Mike Shanahan's Washington Redskins.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Washington? Really? They really think Washington? See, if I was going to go half-cocked, I'd take Seattle before I'd take Washington.
No, but they're trying to do Denver storylines.
Oh, they want to do the Denver storylines,
yeah,
I know.
It's their storyline.
Okay, all right.
But,
well, I get
I mean,
that then.
You would think that I've heard on the news more in the past 3 days that the Broncos are, what are they, 3-2 favorites, 2-3 favorites to win the Super Bowl right now?
Well, something like how bummed they're going to be when the Bengals go there and win.
The
huh?
I think they're swimming in it.
Well, yeah, as Eric just said, how bummed are they going to be when Cincinnati goes in there and kills them?
Right. yeah, this town will grind to a screeching halt, that's for sure.
So you're wearing your Patriot blue loudly and proudly in the Mile High City?
Of course. Have been since I left.
I take
a rash of help from my in-laws, but... So, little breaking news for you too. I am expecting my first child in May.
Hey, congratulations! Congratulations!
So
that's outstanding.
Hey,
giving
out on the 31st that we're having a little baby girl.
Oh, congratulations!
And, my brother-in-law is already convinced that she will be a Broncos fan.
No.
So I think we're going to have a little discussion about that one.
I think you're going to have to send us one of the first pictures you take of your daughter in a Brady jersey.
Well, I just was hoping that Kev could do me the favor and put that up on the jumbo up at a game for me too.
We can work on that.
Well, Doc, you're living up to your company name, Wild Eggs, out there, huh?
Trying.
Good man. Good for you.
Wow. I'm giving you your ceremonial thumb. Good, Eric.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, please pass on our congratulations to the better half.
Much better half.
You know that we miss you a lot around here.
Thank you. I miss you guys, too. So do we think my Twitter campaign is going to move the needle?
Well, I just retweeted you, so 4,100 and some other people know about it already.
Well, I think if the other slogan that I came up with that might pique Zoe's interest a little bit could be Rook and Zoe, that show wouldn't blow.
God, that's great.
I'm not going to retweet that one.
I know, I'm not sure. I want to do that. For
I
those
feel
that
like
are...
he would retweet that, though.
Yeah, that's true. He probably would.
Only because it has his name in it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he, you know, that's Scott Zolak. That's him. For those that are wondering what the hell we're talking about, Doc put up on Twitter last week a hashtag. It was very kind of you to do that, but the hashtag to follow. And if you want to, and this is Eric, you were talking about this a week or two ago, whenever we were talking about this. But if you know, have in your interest of either supporting or if you want to say hell no, follow the hashtag put Rook in the booth 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
More importantly, Jason, what do you think of Rook's new Twitter handle, the Junior Broadcaster?
Junior Broadcaster?
No, it's JR Broadcaster, but the inside joke is we call him Junior.
It makes a little more sense than JRook0722. it speaks more to who you are and what you do, so I'm for the change. But I'll tell you, I was listening to one of the college football games you were doing that the Denver sports station had on out here, and I was riding with a couple buddies of mine, and the first one goes, "Hey, isn't that the guy who introduced you at your wedding?" And I said, yes, it is.
Oh,
and they also said that you should have a bigger presence on radio. So I think if if we rally the listeners and the faithful Patriots.com radio people, I think we could rattle some cages at 98.5 and get you sitting there.
Well, I appreciate that. You're very kind to say that. I'd be remiss if I didn't also say that I was really, really thrilled last weekend to see not only Gil and Geno honored by the Kraft family before the game, but the fact that Gil is now going into the Patriots Hall of Fame, I think is an absolute smash hit and well-deserved. And, you know, it would be the honor of a lifetime to be able to follow him. So
my only question was, after hearing that announcement, was how many times did he say, thank you, Robert?
Yeah, well,
once.
I think just once.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, the over-under was probably, what, 2.5?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, so, but that's good. That's fine. And he, so, you know, hey.
Thank you, Robert.
There we go. Okay, there it is. 1.5 now. So, I you know, he knows that, you know, the Kraft family embraced him, and the Kraft family encouraged him, and, you know, and as those, you know, who have followed along understand that he had such a tough time this past off season before the year got started, and we weren't sure he was going to make it back for even one, much less the entire year. I think he's truly grateful for the patience the organization has put in with him and the outpouring of affection, if you will, over the course of the last several months since the season got underway and people started to learn of, you know, some of his troubles. So he's had a great run, and obviously be well fitting if Patriots could figure out a way to get back to the big one again and win one.
No, definitely. Well, if you guys are in Denver for an AFC championship, breakfast on me.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Eggs, very good. Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Good for you, Eric.
He's been working on his witticisms a lot.
I think it's the illness that's affecting me.
Might be.
Sharpening what? My senses a little
Mental
bit.
Illness? What? Yeah.
My.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Sorry. Jace, be good, my man. Thank you for calling.
All right, guys. Good chatting with you. We'll talk soon.
Happy New Year.
See you, Jace.
All right.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
That's our own beloved Jason, otherwise known as Doc. Calling from Denver, Colorado. And yeah, if you do want to follow the hashtag or if you want to contribute to the hashtag, because I will put it this way, the hashtag has been made known already.
It's out there.
In the organizational circles. It's Put Rook in the Booth in 2013. R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Put Rook in the Booth in 2013. There you go. Just follow the hashtag and give it a spin. See what you think. That's very nice of you to retweet that. I appreciate the support. Here's one thing. I haven't really come out and said this because it's really not up to me. This decision is being made by others, as you well know. But I will tell you this, that whoever ends up in this position has tremendous shoes to fill.
Mm.
I have done this before in my past. I've followed legends in San Antonio. I followed legends, obviously, as the voice of the Providence Friars, as you well know, in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I understand what a position like this means, not only in the overall scheme of things, but what it means in the local marketplace and to a team that is, you know, now steeped in history, especially recent history, as the Patriots are. And there's a certain je ne sais quoi that goes along with being someone in this position. And, you know, it has a lot to do with representing the organization more so than representing the radio station or representing yourself. And that would be a role that I would certainly embrace. So it's going to be tough for anybody who, you know, moves on and does that in Gil's place. But if it is me, then I'll be ready. So there you go.
No one better to do it. I've been saying it for a long time now.
You're the man. You're the man.
I'm not just saying that.
Thank you for the comment. Appreciate that.
It's true.
All right, here's Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good,
hey,
buddy. Derek.
What's up, Eldridge?
I'm doing good. John, I hope you do get in the booth, man. I'd be glad to listen to you, even though I'm, about a couple thousand miles away.
You're a good guy, Eldridge. You're a great fan. You're a consistent performer and contributor. From someone like you, that would mean a lot. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Eric, I'm still waiting on my welcome jersey with welfare. I'm still waiting on it. Well, that was doing Thanksgiving, right? So
it didn't arrive yet? Oh, you didn't get it yet?
No, I ain't got it yet.
Oh, man, the damn mail service is so slow.
Love it.
Okay, my question is, I'm glad everybody's healthy in that practice. And I'm like the last caller. Man, that's all I'm hearing down in North Carolina is Denver. I mean, from NFL, and ESPN, and all the people around here, hating the Patriots, because I'm wearing my coat, my jersey, my hat. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody, that's all they're saying. They figure Indy will lose to Denver.
Yep.
Okay, we'll beat the Ravens, and then we get stumped in Denver by Manning.
Wait, so hold on. Even Dvorkin said this, Jason said this in the previous call. Everyone's assuming Indianapolis is beating Baltimore this weekend?
I don't.
Because I don't assume that either.
Because they're all saying that Denver's going to beat the Colts. But, well, the Colts have to beat Baltimore first.
Yes. Yeah.
Baltimore, yes. That's what everybody's saying. The Colts can beat Baltimore.
Wow.
We'll beat Houston. And then we're going to lose to Denver in Denver by 14 to 20 points. I'm like, you out your mind. I didn't say it like that, but you know what I said, right?
You threw a couple of adjectives in there.
but they crowned in Denver champion already. You know, and I guess they already gave Peyton Manning the MVP.
You know what? Let them talk, Eldridge. As far as I'm concerned, Denver fans can knock themselves out. Go nuts. You know, go nuts, you know, the Mile High. Go nuts because, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all talk. You still have to win it on the field. And if it does turn out where the Patriots would go to Denver to play in the AFC Championship, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't have any great fear over that. I would prefer the game here. And I know what the Patriots' history is in Denver, and it is certainly marked with, shall we say, minefields. But, you know, I don't have any fear over this. I really don't. I think the Patriots are not going to have too much trouble scoring. It's all a question of whether or not they can slow Peyton Manning down, and I think they've already proven they can do that.
Yep, I'm with you on that also. But I'm also surprised that McDaniels haven't went nowhere either.
Yeah. Well, here's the X factor in all this. Josh McDaniels, I think he would relish the chance to rub Denver's face in a big game like this.
Oh, God.
There's no question. There's no question in my mind that he would take them like the little puppy dog you're trying to train and rub Denver's face in the poo on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely would. And so they're going to be something special. There'll be a little something-something, I think, waiting for the Broncos, without any doubt in my mind. So bring it on. I mean, this is great. You got two games to play. Hopefully you win the first one. Got to win the first one. I don't want to be presumptuous here. But if you do get to Denver, fantastic. Bring it on. Because then nobody can say you skirted this or you moved that or what have you. You are doing exactly what you need to do to be considered a true champion, and you're whacking the top of the top.
Okay. One more thing, and then we'll let it go.
Go.
Question is, I know everybody ain't 100%, but if they're close to 100%, and so ain't nobody out there playing they 60 and 40% already. You know, just back tell you after the week five.
I don't know any percentages on where they are, but just because they're out there doesn't mean they're healthy, but they're healthy enough to be
practice.
Out there. Yeah.
They would not be practicing, Eldridge, if they were not able to play. Okay? So it's really tough, as we know, because they're so guarded, like, U.S. government secrets around here. The injuries are, you know, who knows? So in that regard, Bill has always been consistent with us. If they're out there, they're able to play. And so that means that everybody, as of today, is able to play because everybody was out practicing today in the 19-degree temperatures, I might add, here in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's 19 up there?
Mm-hmm. 19.
Okay. It's about 58 up down here.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah.
58.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you much. Come on up and join us and freeze your ass.
Actually, doesn't feel that cold out today.
I'll come next year.
It's because the sun is out.
Yeah,
sun is out today. Sun is out. It's nice and shiny, nice and bright. It doesn't feel 19,
windy.
And it's not windy, but it is 19.
19.
Yep.
Okay. Well, John, I hope you get in the booth. Y'all have a good day. And, man, it's always a pleasure talking to y'all.
Thanks, Eldridge.
Thanks, Eldridge.
Appreciate the phone call. Eldridge in North Carolina. By the way, did you watch any of that Sugar Bowl game last night? Florida and Georgia in Louisville?
Yeah. Stunning.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know that I've done three Louisville games this year that I've broadcast. And Teddy Bridgewater is the real deal. That young man could be playing on Sundays someday. He's got a lot of RG3 in him, although I don't think he has quite the legs or the drive of RG3, but he's certainly
similar
got the arm.
Qualities,
there's a similar quality to him there. And he ripped Florida's defense a new one last night. up and down in every way but loose is the way he held them. And so I've known that he's a good player. I did not expect Louisville to win that game the way they did last night.
No, anybody did.
I thought of you watching that game. I was like, man, Rook's going to be loving this.
The 14 points, listen, there's no way I thought that Florida would cover that. That was one of my – I didn't think that they would. I didn't think Louisville would win, but I thought Louisville would at least make it close and interesting. But Louisville not only won, they dominated most of the way last night, and Bridgewater's the guy. So that's a name that you want to kind of keep an eye out for in the next couple of years because he just completed his sophomore year. So he's got at least one more year to play. And my guess would be he'll be getting some Heisman Trophy talk next year. Legitimate Heisman Trophy talk along with Johnny Manziel. So, you know, and Johnny Manziel will be a redshirt sophomore next year at Texas A&M and have a chance to become the only other repeat performer, repeat performer other than Archie Griffin from Ohio mm-hmm. State. You remember?
Yes.
You're old enough to remember Archie, don't you?
I remember the name. I don't remember seeing him play.
Okay, you were probably too young when he played.
Yeah.
That was back in the 70s.
But it was 45, right, the number?
Yeah, he was number 45 for Ohio State.
Because Andy Katzenmoyer famously took it
yes,
off.
Yes, that is correct. And he won the Heisman as a sophomore and junior.
True sophomore, right?
True sophomore and junior. Yeah, there wasn't quite as much redshirting back then as there is now, because back then you still had junior varsities.
Oh, boy, really?
In the 1970s. Yes, you did. I believe JV football and or freshman football went away when the first initial scholarship restrictions went in, which I want to say was mid-70s, somewhere in that time frame. But because I remember watching the Texas, you know, they called them yearlings. It was their freshman team. It wasn't really called a junior varsity, even though they played yeah. against other JVs. Yeah. It was all freshmen. True freshmen played JV ball at University of Texas, and they would play against JVs from around the Southwest Conference and what have you, and then they wouldn't even get up to the varsity, if you will, until at least they were a sophomore. Because back then, you didn't have what you have today. You didn't have guys leaving for the pros back then. You played your 3 years, and that was it. So rather than not play and sit out a freshman year, you know, and redshirt, as the case may be, you went and played freshman ball or JV ball. And then you got a year under your skin and under your belt, and you hopefully learned from it, and then you had 3 years to contribute on the varsity. That's how they did it once upon a time. And we got kids out of college in 4 years as opposed to 5, 6, and 7 years nowadays.
It's ridiculous.
I know. All right, let's take a timeout. It's time now for some Game Show Thursday. So we've gotten in most of our good football stuff here, and we'll obviously continue that thought process next week when we learn the Patriots' opponent. If you want to play on Game Show Thursday and have a chance to win our prizes today, we need you to pick up the phone. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the number to call, 508-298-0398. All right? That's all you got to do. We'll lock you in. You'll compete against a fellow caller, and we're going to have a little game show action ready to roll right here inside Patriots Playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, D-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Come on, don't make me beg here. Pick up the phone and call. We have one contestant. We still need one more. And considering all the tweets and all the emails that I get from, and especially the Facebook posts that I get, and people say, when are we going to do game show again? When are we going to play game show? That was great. That was radio gold. I want to hear game show. I want to come back and play game show Thursday with you again, John. Well, now's your chance. It's not like we haven't told you it was coming. We said if the Patriots got a bye, we were bringing back the game show for a postseason edition, not a bye week edition of the regular season, a postseason edition. So we're trying to step up our game today. Where is your game? 508-298-0398. Did I sufficiently call him out?
I think so.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. But I guess, you know, this must be I don't give a crap because I can't say that, you know. We have Sean in Vancouver, Canada, standing by.
They're all too busy tweeting, put Rook in the booth, yeah, 2013.
I'm sure that's it. I'm sure that's it. All right, so anybody who's man enough to stand up to Sean, here you go, 508-298-0398. Pick it up. Let's rock and roll. Let me also, before we get going here, find out, you know, was there anything else other than what you've already talked about injury-wise from practice today that we need to, you know, consider going into next week?
Well, no, I think we pretty much covered everything, honestly. I mean, there are, like we said, there are guys who are out there who aren't 100%, clearly, but the fact that they're out there and able to contribute in practice, that's, you can't expect anything more at this time of year, especially with this team, the number of people that they list every week.
And they list 17, 18.
21 guys last week.
I know, which is kind of ridiculous, but I think that's Patriots' way of thumbing their nose at the NFL over having to do it in the first place.
I'm a little, you know, I hope they can get healthier at the cornerback position in time for next week because, you know, not having their two starters out there, forcing McCourty to go back to corner. I think they were starting to develop something with Tlaib at left corner, Dennard at right corner, Gregory and McCourty at safety. I think that's as good as you're going to get with the personnel that they have. So if they can get those two edge guys healthy again and let McCourty go back to where he was at safety, I think that's your best hope of having some semblance of a solidified secondary.
Where does Chung come into that equation?
As a valuable insert when needed backup.
So that's where we are with him, yeah, in your estimation.
Yeah.
Why is that?
He was never that good to begin with. I was not a fan of their taking him where they did, when they did. Second round in 2009. Thought that was far too high for his skills. And I think that's been proven out over the last 4 years.
Even though, in all honesty, it seems like his skill level has diminished somewhat, but I think you could make an argument at the very least that it's due to, you know, injuries, right?
Part of it is injuries, but I don't think he was ever as high as on his skill set as some people did. I think he was overrated to begin with. And he's been consistently mediocre.
Known for a few big hits. He's come up
once in a while.
He's come up with a couple of picks.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's mediocre as opposed to being a, you know, a starter in the secondary? What specifically, what does he not do in your estimation?
I don't think he tackles well enough.
I would agree with the tackling part.
He doesn't make enough big plays. He's not always in the right position to be making those plays. He's good enough to be an NFL player, but he's not a standout. Certainly not worthy of second-round pick.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that, especially as the practice unfolds next week, and find out you know, what the positioning groupings might be in the secondary, because that could be certainly one of the areas that would be targeted by an opponent, no matter who that opponent might be, when the playoffs get rolling next week for the Patriots. In the meantime, let's welcome into the program not only our pro football guru, resident pro football guru, but panelist on Game Show Thursday, Mr. Russell S. Baxter, at Bax Football Guru. How are you, Russell?
I'm great, Mr. Bill Cullen. How are you?
Bill Cullen. Let's see. How many more can we come up with? I'm a fan of Gene Rayburn. Bill Cullen is one of the all-time greats. You and I both know that Hugh Downs hosted Concentration.
Gene Barry?
Gene Barry was one. That's another one.
Right.
How about Wink Martindale?
Wink Martindale. That's how I talked to Kevin on the phone. Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale.
Right.
Peter Marshall.
Oh, Peter Marshall, yes.
Otherwise, a.k.a. Peter Lecoq.
Art Fleming. The original Jeopardy, right?
You didn't know that, Kevin? Peter Marshall's real name is Peter Lecoq. Thank you. Now, Russell, you knew that, though, right?
Yes, I did.
His son.
Because his son played
baseball.
His son was a baseball player, right?
Yes, his son played baseball for the Kansas City Royals.
Right. Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh,
who was the guy that hosted, God, now I forgot the name of the stupid show. You had Bob Eubanks, right?
Yes, and then we had Jim Lang with the dating game.
Dating game, right.
Right. You and I have talked about Shecky Green and Shenanigans.
Chuck Woolery,
a favorite of people in my home.
Absolutely, 2 and 2. We'll be back in 2 and 2, right?
Yeah.
And then is the guy that did the show that Pressure Luck. You remember Pressure Luck with the Whammies?
Yes, wasn't that Wink Martindale?
No, that was not Wink Martindale. It was a younger guy. I can't remember his name, and I know that he met an untimely demise. Kind of like Ray, what's his name, did with Family Feud.
Family Feud, right.
Yeah,
I guess you got to throw Richard Dawson in there as well, right?
Yes, Richard Dawson, yeah. He became a game show host, obviously,
right,
with the original Family Feud after he left. In fact, this has been a few years after he left the Match Game.
And I guess we got to do Pat Sajak.
Oh, yeah, Pat Sajak, yeah.
And Dick Clark with the $10,000 pyramid.
$10,000 pyramid. That's exactly right. Dick Clark did the original.
My mother, God bless her soul, was an enormous game show fan.
Alan Ludden.
Password. Yes, password.
Yes. Okay.
Or, and remember, probably the most famous password episode ever was the episode in which Alan Ludden and Betty White appeared on The Odd Couple.
Yes.
And The Odd Couple was great, and I bring that up because we just lost Jack Klugman about a week ago.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many people either messaged me or texted me or brought up the word. And for people who are Odd Couple fans and remember that episode, Aristophanes.
Aristophanes, yeah.
Remember Aristophanes?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Google it if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, because we won't spend any time going into it right now.
Anytime I'm on, people Google, because they never know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, that's not true, and you know that. All right, so should we strike up the orchestra? All right, Maestro, if you please, welcome to Game Show Thursday. Welcome as we once again bring you into the long-awaited playoff edition of Game Show Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. I am your genial host, Gene Rayburn, or John Rook. Take your pick. But today I'm playing Gene Rayburn. Let's welcome in our panelists today. Our panelists, he stands about 5'2", weighs 132 pounds,
and he's
bald as a cue ball. Please welcome in Eric Scalafino. Eric?
One out of three ain't bad.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, he's a former college place kicker for the Boston University Terriers.
No, now stop defunct. Telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
I didn't think we still had that clip.
So I'm guessing this is Match Game and not To Tell the Truth.
Correct. Yes, correct. That is exactly what we're doing. Our other contestant, he runs the controls on the other side of the glass.
That's what you want to call
him. I was going to call him an erstwhile, but it's not really erstwhile because we still think he does follow his favorite football team, Boston College, even though, do they still have a program at Boston College?
They do.
They do? Okay.
New coach.
That's true. Steve Adazio. I realize that. And in general, overall, pretty good guy who is also somewhat follically challenged, like Mr. Scalavino. Please welcome in Mr. Kevin Collins. Studio audiences, we have him on mute.
Ball there, didn't you?
And who did you kick for?
Yeah, and Kevin did not kick for anybody.
I kicked plenty of field goals in my backyard as a kid, but that
okay.
was about it.
There you go.
Used to use two trees as uprights. It was pretty lame. My dad wouldn't build me uprights.
Wow.
That's all I want. I asked for, like, uprights made of PVC pipe. Too much work, apparently.
That's terrible.
Oh.
That's terrible.
Child I'm all depressed.
I know. That's really. It's. We might have to start, a phone-a-thon here, you know, for Kevin. And then, of course, our third and last but certainly not least game show panelist today. He is a contributor at Pro Football Guru. He is a contributor for the Bleacher Report. He's a contributor for ColdHardFootballFacts.com. And, of course, he is a weekly regular inside the Patriots playbook. Mr. National Football League, please welcome the one and only Russell S. Baxter.
Thank you, sir. You forgot the bourbon meatball.
Bourbon meatball, yes, okay. Yeah. All right, well.
We make bourbon meatballs.
We make bourbon meatballs.
Yeah. Sound good.
God, that
tasty.
Does sound good.
Anybody who knows me knows the bourbon meatballs.
Bourbon meatballs. So. Well, we might have to work on that pretty soon.
Listen, dry ice, and they'll be up there in a couple of weeks.
We have to work on that.
Yes, we can.
Patriots
yes, we
need
can.
To keep winning games.
Yeah,
we
need to keep winning games.
You would be amazed at the popularity of your show, although spelling would decrease by about 80%.
That's okay. It's okay. We have E-Scal to take care of that, by the way.
There you go.
He's our resident...
he's not kicking.
Yes. He's our resident brainiac. Our contestants today, our contestant number one, hails from Vancouver, Canada. Please welcome in Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Great, great. How are you, Dean?
Well done.
See, the man knows how to play already.
Yeah. Great. I've been watching the updated match game on the Comedy Network in Canada. They have a new one hosted by Darren Rose, so... boning up on that show.
Nice. All right. Well, then I clearly believe you're going to know how to play our game today.
Hope so.
All right. Very good. And guess what? We're going to go bi-coastal here because we're going to come all the way screaming back to the East Coast today. And if we can figure out a way to lock in everybody here. And we're going to welcome in Fish from Woburn, Massachusetts. Fish, how you doing today?
We're doing good. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Glad you're with us.
Hey, Fish, how are you? How's Barney Miller?
He's doing just fine.
Yeah. See, Russell can go way back on
sure.
us.
Sure. Oh, God.
He definitely can go way back. Now, Fish, are you aware how to play match game? Do you know how to play?
Go over just briefly.
Okay. Very simple. I'm going to ask a question. You're going to fill in a blank. Now, you're not going to reveal your answer until I tell you specifically reveal your answer. You're going to try to think like our panelists, Eric and Russell and Kevin, and see how many you can match. All right, and then each contestant is going to get two answers, and the contestant with the most answers at the end of the two rounds is going to win. If we're still tied, which we have been before in the past, we go into sudden death and so forth and so on.
Now, wait a minute. Did you change the sudden death rules this year so they are the same as the NFL postseason and now in the regular season?
Yes, slightly in the interest of time and interest.
Right, so Fish is going to get a chance to get the ball first, and then Sean will be able to counter that. Okay.
Yes, that is correct. Everybody gets a possession in the overtime.
Gotcha, okay.
Everybody gets a possession. So
sounds like it's going to be relevant here.
Exactly. We are going right along with National Football League playoff rules here. Okay. All right, so here we go. Since Sean called in first, Sean, I'm going to give you the first grab here at question number one. Oh, and we just lost Fish.
Oh, well, congratulations, Sean. Way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah, no callback.
I know. All right, we're going to give him a chance to call back. In the meantime, Sean, I'm going to go ahead and get started here. But, Fish, if you can do it, it's 508-298-0398. Hopefully that's him. We'll let Kevin take care of that and make sure that he's lined back up. Did we get him back? That's him? All right, let me see if I can get him back on here. Fish, you back with us here, buddy?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right. All right. Everything okay?
Yeah, we're good. I think you dropped me.
I dropped you? I didn't touch you. Did I touch anything?
I didn't notice.
I didn't touch anything. No. Okay. I think I got everybody locked in here. All right, so here we go. If we can, Maestro. All right, question number one to Sean in Vancouver. Here we go. I have a riddle. What's small, wears blue, leaps tall buildings in a single bound? It's super... blank. All right, don't answer it just yet, Sean. What's small, wears blue, and leaps tall buildings in a single bound? It's super. And you get to fill in the blank. And contestants, when you are all set, you need to ding in and let me know that you're all ready to roll. All
right. Ding.
All right, Russell has dinged in. Kevin has dinged in. And Eric has dinged in. All right, so Sean, our contestants are ready. One more time, here's a riddle for you. What's small, wears blue, and leaps tall buildings in a single bound? It's super...
Viagra.
Super Viagra. Okay.
Wow. What team does he play for?
I'm not really sure, but okay. I certainly see where Sean's going with that one. Let's see if he matched any of our contestants. Let's start out with Escal. Escal, what do you say? Is blue, small, wears blue, leaps tall buildings in a single bound, super what?
I went with Super Welker.
Super Welker. Super Welker. Is anybody working on the buzzer? Okay, that's what. Just wanted to make sure the sound effects guy was awake. Kevin, how about you?
I was in the neighborhood of Eric. I went Super Woody.
Super Woody! Yeah! See, to me, that was the obvious answer. I would have gone, that was my choice, it's Super Woody. Mr. Baxter, what do you vote for?
I went with the unpopular choice of Super Eli.
Super Eli. Oh, that one going right up the...
He's not that small.
No, but... you know, he is a little brother compared to Peyton, right? Mm. So you can still consider that.
I suppose.
All right.
That's the blue. I focused on the blue.
That's okay.
Cut that meat.
Sandwich.
Cut that meat.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, there's a team here in Foxborough that wears blue, too.
Yes, yes. There's a team that wears blue. That's correct. All right. So, Sean, I guess you understand then how the game is played, and you see where our panelists went, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready for that now.
All right, so you'll be ready for round number two.
Who is this Viagra guy?
Viagra?
Visica Agra?
Used to play for the, used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? I know.
You
know.
He might be suspended for now.
Yeah, probably. Fish, you ready to play?
Yep, ready.
All right, so now you get what we're talking about, right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Gronk said, "My girlfriend will never let me forget she was in the military. Every night before I come to bed, she makes me blank." Gronk said, "My girlfriend will never let me forget she was in the military. Every night before I come to bed, she makes me..." And you have to fill in the blank.
Ding.
All right, we have one.
Ding.
We have two.
Ding.
And we have three. Okay, Fish, one more time here. My girlfriend will never... This is Gronk. "My girlfriend will never let me forget she was in the military. Every night before I come to bed, she makes me..."
Stand at attention.
Stand at attention. Okay. That's the sound of one hand clapping. Okay? One hand clapping. I understand where you're going with that. I don't think you quite got it, but hey, it's not up to me because you have to match... Yeah, you got to match the other guys here. All right, so let's start with E-Scal again. "My girlfriend will never let me forget she was in the military. Every night before I come to bed, she makes me..."
Well, I have to say, I had exactly the same line of thinking because I went with stand at attention.
Come on, come
because
on!
Because I was thinking more of, you know, mini Gronk.
Yeah, we know.
All right, yeah.
Standing at attention.
Yeah, mini Gronk standing at attention.
Very
All
good.
Right, Fish scores one. All right, what do you say, Kev?
I said salute.
That's where I was going with that one. That was where I was at. And that would be incredible. But you've got one. And, Russell, what did you say?
Salute her.
Salute her. Okay. See? All right.
You got a point, though.
But, Fish, you scored one. So, congratulations. You're in the lead at the halfway pole.
Congratulations.
It's overwhelmed, Bob.
I know. Apparently. Speechless.
It's like, who are these knuckleheads?
It's like a fish out of water.
Oh. Bonoosh. Okay. All right. So, Fish, stand by. We're going to go round number two here, and we're going to let Sean select either question A or question B. Which one would you like, Sean?
I'll go with A.
All right. Here's question A. Vince and Bianca were the strangest couple on the dance floor. Every other couple was dancing cheek to cheek, but they were dancing blank to blank.
Why do you got to do this to me?
Vince and Bianca were the strangest couple on the dance floor. Every other couple was dancing cheek to cheek, but they were dancing blank to blank.
Ding.
All right, we got a ding. And we got two other dings. All right, Sean. Vince and Bianca, you know, they were pretty strange, right?
Yep.
The strangest couple on the dance floor, in fact. Because everybody else out there was dancing cheek to cheek. But Vince and Bianca, they were dancing what to what?
I want to turn around to say backside to backside.
Backside to backside. Okay. Well, all right. Okay.
Sort of cheek to cheek.
Okay. Yeah. It's just, a reverse cheek to cheek. I think I get that a little bit. All right. So what do you say, E-Scal? What do you have?
Well, I was trying to play it safe here, and I went with Vince's usual position. And I said, nose to nose.
Now, see, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. That's your best played answer today. Too bad it doesn't match the contestant, but it's a good answer. Kevin, what did you say?
I went belly to belly.
Belly to belly. I think that would be a pretty good one, too, since we know one person has at least a prodigious one. So there we go. All right. So there we go. And Russell Baxter.
And I took it a slight step. I went nose to nose tackle.
Nose to nose tackle. Okay. All right. Well, Sean, seeing as you did not match, that automatically makes Fish from Woburn, Massachusetts, our champion. Congratulations, Fish.
My bad, wrong button.
See, Kevin's got to push all the buttons at once, and he's got to be a game show panelist. So today, Kevin truly earns his money. So there you go.
I don't want to get in an elevator with Kevin.
No, probably not.
No, you know, you'll be in it for a while.
Probably not. Exactly right. All right, Sean, hey, thanks for playing. We sure appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Fish.
Congrats, Fish.
You got it. You still there, pal?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, good. Now, do you have time for the ultimate round?
Sure, let's have it.
All right, hold on just a moment here, because I'm going to put you on. Do we want to? All right, let's do this. I'm going to put Fish on hold, and let's see if we can bring in one more contestant.
Yeah.
So the phone line is open, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398.
We can do this. We can say, so Fish, he's already won a yearbook.
He's already won a yearbook.
If he win another one, he could win a PFW subscription.
Yeah, he could. That's correct. If he wins here, he'll move into the PFW subscription.
We need a contestant.
But we need a contestant. So you need to pick up the phone and call right now. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this on the podcast, but unfortunately, we don't have a podcast version of the program today. So we'll just have to wait and see if we can figure something out. And if we can't figure something out, then by all means, we'll award Fish, our top opening round prize of the playbook, which, by the way, we still, or the record book.
Yeah.
We've been trying to give one away all year long on Thursdays for Prediction Thursday, which, you know, we have everybody, fans, to predict the score of a game. And Russell, this entire season, we never had one person predict the right score of a Patriots game on Sunday or Monday or otherwise. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, nobody. It's not like anybody's throwing out 59-24 or 52-28.
You'd be surprised some of the scores.
You know,
we get.
I mean, that probably makes it a little tough. And I don't know if anybody had 28-0, a shutout for the Patriots.
No, nobody had 28-0.
I think you were just better off betting that they would score at least 500 points this year.
Well, that's something you and I have talked about as well, the fact that this team has managed to, once again, score over 500. First mm-hmm. team to do it three times in history, correct?
Well, no, they're the first time to do it four times in history.
Thank you.
And they're the second team to do it three times in a row, which were the 99 to 2001 Rams.
Rams. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we remember what happened with the 99 Rams, who won the Super Bowl. And, of course, we also remember what happened to 2001 Rams when they ran into the Patriots.
Yeah, they got beat.
So, a lot to be said for those 500-point scoring teams. If you look down history, they're not quite as successful as you think they are.
Yeah, that's also very true.
Yeah.
So, you and I are going to jump into this a little bit more after this next round of match game. But just initially, what are your thoughts on the wild card matchups, and which one are you looking most forward to?
I think I'm most looking forward to the Colts at the Ravens. The story just keeps on getting better and better. And, you know, last week we saw the return of Chuck Pagano to the sidelines. And, you know, obviously what an emotional time. The Colts, who were a 2-win team, are an 11-win team. Speaking of returns, Chuck Pagano returns to Baltimore. People, I think, forget he was the Ravens defensive coordinator last year.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I think it's – I don't think you're going out on a limb to say that the Baltimore Ravens, losers of four of their last five, and I know they didn't play everybody the whole game last week, but the Indianapolis Colts look like a steadier football team than the Ravens do at this time. And it's going to be interesting because these franchises have played in the playoffs before, and the Colts are 2-0 against them. I understand that was both – Peyton Manning both times in 06, one of those in Baltimore in 06, one in Indianapolis. But I think it's a fascinating matchup because these Colts are young, they're exciting, and for lack of a better word, absolutely fearless.
Okay, let's we'll table the discussion on football for a moment and get right back to match game, and we're going to welcome in Nick in San Diego, who joins the program. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for
Nick, what part of San Diego are you in?
Downtown, East Village.
Downtown. Do you ever get to La Jolla?
Absolutely.
Yes. One of my favorite restaurants in the country is there.
Which one is it?
Of the 70,000?
Yeah.
Cafe Japengo's?
Yes! Oh, my God, I've been to that one. I got that. That actually... that
right
actually
where the Hyatt is in La Jolla?
Yes. That
off
actually
the charts.
That is a recommendation of a very good friend of mine who's a former general manager of the San Diego Padres years ago. And that's the place he told
What's
me to
it,
go
Cafe
to.
Cafe Japenga?
Japenga.
Yes.
Yes.
I managed to get them to follow
Mexican
me on
food?
Twitter. Now, if I can only get them to send me some sushi, we'll have something.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, Nick, thanks. And let's make sure now that I'm going to have him locked in here. And Fish, you still with us? All right, awesome. All right, Fish, stand in, at least for another moment here, and we're going to let Nick get his feet wet in the opening round here. All right, Nick, if you would, pick either question A or B.
I'll take question B.
B it is. All right, this is going to sound pretty easy, but I think it's going to be a lot tougher than you realize. Fill in the blank. Contestants, if we're ready. Panelists, if we're ready. Here we go.
Let's do it.
New York blank. New York blank. Or New York blank. Think about it. And Nick, your goal here is to match our panelists. Regardless of what you think, you got to match our panelists to move on here. All right, we got one ding.
Ding.
We got two dings.
Oh, boy. I've answered this one so many times before. I'm trying to think of something different.
He picked B. I'm going with slot B
that's
here.
Okay.
Okay.
Man. All right, ding.
The orchestra's going to run out of breath here in a moment. All right, Nick, here you go. Very simple. New York.
All right, well, I'm going to be betting that I got some Patriots fan on my side. I'm going to say New York sucks.
Excellent choice. I think the studio audience actually agrees with that one. Let's see. Do they? Smattering of applause. All right. All right, New York sucks. Pretty good. Eskel, what were you thinking?
I went with the obvious, even though I don't believe it.
New York sucks.
I just want to go on record as saying I don't believe that. I love New York.
Yes, but you went because you know
that's the only time I've answered this one so many different ways that I went with the easy.
I love that one though. That's why I always put it back in the hopper, you know, because it's
the hopper.
Look at it. Put it back. This is my hopper. All right, Kev, what's your answer?
New York with sucks as well, and yes, I genuinely believe that.
Okay, you're two for two, Nick, Mr. Baxter.
You're un-American. That's what you are.
What do you say, Russell?
New York disappointed.
New York disappointed.
No Giants.
Two out of three
in the playoffs.
No, New York weeps. Might be a good one too, huh? All right, but Nick, you scored well. You got two out of three.
Great.
Great. I know he sounds overwhelmed.
Yeah. Bubbling.
Right? Okay, bubbling. All right, so Nick, if you'll stand by, Fish, you got a little bit of an uphill climb, but you got a couple of rounds to do it here. So you're ready for your question?
Well, it's uphill because you gave him the easy one.
Ah! Well, but you have a chance. You have a chance to pick the easy one yourself. You just don't know where the easy one's going to fall. So I'll give you a choice, A or B.
Go with B.
You're going to go with B. All right, here you go. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe. Here we go. Blocking and blank. Blocking and blank. Blocking and blank.
Ooh.
Blocking and blank. Urgh. See, to me, there's a very obvious one here. But okay, there's Eric. Kevin's having a little consternation over this one.
I haven't heard Russell dinging yet either.
He hasn't dung yet.
No, I haven't dinged or dunged.
Ding or dunged.
I'm confused.
Blocking and blank.
Ding.
Okay, finally. Like we can sit here and listen to this wonderful game show music presented to us by the CBS Orchestra.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay, and we're in. Okay, Fish, here you go. Blocking and?
Gronking.
Blocking and gronking.
That's a good answer.
That's a pretty good answer. Not quite what I was thinking, but okay. Blocking and gronking. What do you say, Eskel?
I went predictable.
Yeah.
Tackling.
Yeah, blocking and tackling. That's kind of the way that I was thinking. Kevin Collins.
I went holding.
Blocking and holding, which we know there probably exists on every play from scrimmage in a football game. Blocking and holding. Mr. Baxter?
Try as they may to be clever, blocking and tackling.
Blocking and tackling. See, so... No.
Didn't he say tackling?
No.
I did.
Oh,
no,
you did.
He
okay.
did. He
My
did.
My bad. I'm confused.
Okay. You know, so we need to correct that on the scoreboard.
I thought I was on 10-10 win for a second there.
It's okay. No, that's all right. See, the problem here, and the key to being successful in this game, is when you can't come up with a clever, witty one, go with the obvious one. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
right.
The key.
That's your default.
I forget what he said. What did he say?
He said blocking gronking. And holding and gronking.
Oh, okay.
Gronking.
Yeah,
he said gronking.
Creative for us.
All right. So all right now, Fish. Since you trailed after the first 1-2 zip, I'm going to give you first choice in round two. How's that?
Sounds fair enough.
All right, here you go. You get to choose A or B again. Which one you want?
A this time.
You're going to go with A this time. All right, here we go. Oh, this is a good one. Okay. Weird Bill was thrown out of the department store the other day when they caught him blanking the mannequins. Weird Bill was thrown out of the department store the other day when they caught him blanking the mannequins.
Ding.
Ding.
Eric's the face now has suddenly got a look of horror overcoming. He's going to say,
ding.
Bill Belichick's in this press conference. He's going to go, blanking the mannequins, huh? Before your next question. All right. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, he's got it.
Finishing the scribbling.
All right, Fish, here you go. Weird Bill was thrown out of the department store the other day when they caught him blanking the mannequins.
Practicing his 2-minute drill.
Practicing the 2-minute drill on the mannequins. I don't think the studio audience likes that one, Fish.
Okay. Yeah, they're not creative.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's all right. Hey, you got to give it a stab every once in a while. All right. So what do you say, Big E?
I went with putting hoodies on.
Putting hoodies on the mannequins. Okay. Kevin?
Very similar to Eric. I wrote dressing.
Dressing the mannequins. See, that's an obvious one. That's an absolutely obvious one. And Russell?
Benching the mannequins.
Even better.
That's the best one.
My answer would have been kissing the mannequins because he's Weird Bill. See how it kind of goes along with the theme of the question?
I don't know. But never kissed me.
But I do like the dressing and the benching. Those were two very, very witty answers. Mm. But unfortunately, Fish, they don't match.
I thought mine implied kissing, so I should get some credit.
Well, let's go back to the judges then on that one. Judges, what do you say?
What was his answer again?
What was your answer again? Practicing on.
2-minute drill?
Yeah, practicing the 2-minute drill, right?
Yeah, I didn't think that had anything to do with kissing.
No, see, the judges don't. They're not going for that, Fish. But you know what, Fish? You still want a Patriots book.
Toss him on hold, and I'll get his address.
All right. So congratulations for winning the prize. I'm going to put you on hold so that way we can get your address and we'll send something off to you. Nick, congratulations on winning today. It's greatly appreciated that you played with us and you took the time to play with us today. And because you took the time to play with us today, we're going to put you on hold as well, and then you can give Kevin your address and we'll send you your prize. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right.
A lot of fun.
Thanks for playing. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's Nick in San Diego and Fish in Woburn, Mass. And thanks to everybody for listening along today. And Big E, I appreciate your taking the time to go a little overtime today, right?
No problem. I'm going to head. I have to head straight to the locker room for interviews, but glad to play. I love this game.
Yes, on Tuesday, right? We're back. No, you'll be Wednesday
because
it's a regular work week next week.
Regular work week, but we have no game this weekend, so I should be here on Tuesday,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Depending on the availability schedule.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. Mr. Baxter, you have a couple of moments for a timeout, and then we'll come back and do some football?
Yes, I do.
All right. Very good. So Russell Baxter will be with us on the other side as we wrap up game show and we get into more of Patriots Playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Moving along here in hour number two of Patriots Playbook for this Thursday, wild card week upon us in the 2013 NFL playoffs. And we welcome back once again into the program, Mr. Russell S. Baxter, profootballguru.com, coldhardfootballfacts.com, bleacherreport.com. What other .coms are you a member of now? What have you added?
Well, we do endzonenews.com, and we do footballpros.com, which is the site Chris Collinsworth and NBC is involved in.
Yes.
So if there's a .com involved, we try to get involved. But as long as it's talking about pro football, we do everything we can to contribute.
We're in. Absolutely. And that way we keep the great sport of pro football moving and shaking, as the case may be. There are, of course, 4 wild card games this weekend. We want to touch briefly on all of them, since we don't normally get a chance to do that each week when we look at the schedule of games. We'll start with the NFC, only because nobody around here really cares just yet. It'll be a couple of weeks before people around here really start caring, I think, about the NFC. But let's start then with the Saturday game. And the Vikings playing at the Packers on Saturday night. And I have to admit, I think this one has a good old fashioned, you know, as Chris Berman would once say, the NFC Norris division type, you know, atmosphere about it. This is an old school throwback kind of game. I'm just wondering if it'll have an old school throwback kind of feel to it.
Well, listen, we got to give the Packers credit. They went from holding Adrian Peterson to 210 yards rushing to 199.
Yeah, so. they held him down.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, this rivalry is very interesting because, and remember, these teams played in the playoffs 8 years ago when Randy Moss and the Vikings went into Lambeau Field after losing to the Packers twice in the regular season and beat them. I mean, we all remember Randy's little moon-like gesture to the crowd that day.
Right.
But more significantly, the modern-day version of this rivalry is, and Adrian Peterson obviously a factor, but a lot of this, funny enough, is Aaron Rodgers and Jared Allen. You know, Aaron Rodgers has beaten, I mean, he had got off to a slow start, remember, with the whole Favre thing and not being able to beat Brett Favre, and then, of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers and them reeled off, I think, five straight wins against the Vikings. But the thing that's fascinating here is Aaron Rodgers either gets sacked when he plays the Vikings, most of it by Jared Allen, or he throws a touchdown pass. I'll just throw out these numbers to you. 24 touchdown passes and 4 picks in 10 games against the Vikings the last 5 years.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
But sacked 35 times, John, and 15 and a half of the 35, including 2 safeties, by one Mr. Jared Allen.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's not a matter if he went to Jared. It's more like Jared went to him.
You actually have been, I'm sure, you've had that one tucked in your back pocket the entire afternoon. I know that.
I'll give credit to the original person I ever heard it say it. Trey Wingo made a reference like that about 3 or 4 years ago. In other words, you know, in regards to Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but it's all-encompassing. But it is interesting. I mean, Jared Allen's had some great games against Aaron Rodgers, and yet Aaron Rodgers, more times than not, has got the best of them.
All right. Fair enough with that one, then. That's pretty good, though. All right, so now we got Vikings and Packers. The Sunday late game, which is actually a 4:30 Eastern time kickoff, has Seahawks at Redskins. Now, I have to admit, as much as I hated to really kind of feel this way, I kind of feel like Seattle is a real sleeper in this one. And I would not be shocked to see Seattle not only in an NFC championship game, but maybe even take the entire NFC.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that there is a sleeper in Seattle?
Yes! Oh, my God, you are fast. You are so quick.
Wow.
See, either that.
My favorite thing about the Sunday game,
yes,
is the fun you're going to have at the beginning of the day. And by the way, if you're anywhere near the state of Maryland on Sunday afternoon from 1 o'clock to about 7:30,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you're in business.
Baltimore and Washington hosting playoff games.
Yeah, isn't that great?
On the same day. But
I wonder if any intrepid fan is going to try, or a reporter is going to try to make both.
Oh, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. A little helicopter ride. You know.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
No, not yeah. You know, and by the way, you don't want to fly a plane near Baltimore. Remember that game in 1976,
mm-hmm.
The private plane game,
mm-hmm.
when the Steelers and the Colts played in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
People can Google that one again because that's another subject of me being older.
Yeah, very good.
But
can you imagine the traffic on the Beltway?
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Like, you're better off going to Philadelphia and watching both games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. But you're right. The traffic would be
plenty of parking space at the link.
Absolutely. That's good. Take the L.
Exactly.
Take the L down to Baltimore and D.C.
No kidding.
But by the way, I'll get this out of the way since we're being giddy.
Sure.
My favorite thing about Sunday is Colts at Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and then Seattle, Washington.
Oh, I get it. I get it. All right.
Wait,
very good.
Wait.
See?
We're going to talk about the game.
I got to tell you, man, the wit is just flowing here today.
I'm sure some people are thinking those same near words.
Yeah. In fact, they're probably putting the word knit in front of wit.
Yes.
right?
Okay. Yeah. Fill in the blank. Blank wit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so...
We allude to the fact that the Colts, I think, are playing kind of better football. And a lot of people are going to, you know, young team, experienced Ravens. You know, the Ravens own the longest current playoff streak in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-for-5 now under John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco. And they've won at least one playoff game at all the previous 4 years. So, you know, be it the wild card round or the divisional round, they've either advanced at least one. I mean, I know they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. They've gotten to 2 AFC title games and fell short in both.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me is, and I think I pointed out before, and you saw it again last week, the contributions that the Colts have gotten from their rookie class are absolutely off the charts. And I know everybody thinks it's just Andrew Luck. It's not just Andrew Luck. The guy who led the team in touchdowns this year was T.Y. Hilton, who scored, I believe, 8 touchdowns rushing and returns. But how's this for a number? 40 total touchdowns by the Colts this year, 22 of those, John, by members of their 2012 draft class.
Wow. No, I did not realize it was that extensive. Nope.
Kobe Fleener, Dwayne Allen, LaVon Brazil, Vic Ballard, Hilton and Luck have combined for 22 of the team's 40 touchdowns. And I'm talking about Andrew Luck scoring. I'm not talking about Andrew Luck throwing. Andrew Luck ran for 5 touchdowns this year. So last week in the win over Houston, Fleener had a touchdown. Hilton had a touchdown. I believe Ballard had a touchdown. And, of course, they got the kick return, who was from a free agent. But young team, exciting team. I'm not sure. Hey, listen, I know there's going to be a lot of emotion with the announcement about Ray Lewis and so on. So this is going to be a very, very intriguing game. But I think I'm leaning a little, and maybe I'm just being, you know, sentimental or riding the hot team because Baltimore, because you see it. Like Houston last year, remember, lost their last 3 games,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden blew out the Bengals by 31-10. So sometimes a team, you know, falls asleep for a little bit and then wakes up. And I know Joe Flacco and Ray Rice didn't play big roles in last week's loss at Cincinnati, but I'm more concerned about Baltimore's defense more than anything else. It's been 10 years since they've been out of the top 10 in yards allowed. They're ranked 17th this year in yards allowed, for whatever you want to call that, and 20th against the run. And I just find it interesting that here come the Colts team, again, with a defensive coordinator who knows their offensive and defensive personnel.
Correct. I just like to find, you know, I just like to hear somebody say Baltimore or the Colts win in Baltimore.
Colts at Baltimore. It's great.
Colts win in Baltimore.
The Cardinals at St. Louis.
Yes. Yes. Cardinals win in St. Louis. That's right. Good. I don't know. So do you think the Colts win in Baltimore? Is that what you're leaning?
I'm leaning toward the Colts winning in Baltimore, yes.
All right. Very good. Did we finish Seattle and Washington before we got witty?
I don't think pick-wise.
No.
And Seattle is blistering, although the Redskins, 7 wins in a row. Seattle, 5 wins in a row. By the way, Washington's probably getting tired of playing Seattle in the playoffs. Their last 2 playoff games, which were 0-7 and 0-5, were both losses to Seattle.
Seattle, right.
This is the third straight time the Redskins are playing Seattle in a playoff game. They lost 2 of those in Seattle. I don't think they're going to lose this one.
Really? No kidding.
And listen, there's been a lot said about the rookie quarterbacks, and rightfully so. But there's also should be said something about the second leading rusher in the league and the third leading rusher in the league, and that's Alfred Morris and Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
These teams in some ways are kind of similar. Seattle has the edge on defense. For the first time in the history of the franchise, John, they led the league in fewest points allowed. They had never done that. And I know they haven't been around 80 years,
mm-hmm.
but they've been around almost 40. So that's still an accomplishment, to say the least. The thing that impresses about Washington, this was a team that scored 288 points last year. This year they scored 436.
Wow.
And are the number one rushing team in the league. They have run for more than 1,000 more yards this year than they did last year. So I know Griffin's part of that, but Alfred Morris is a huge part of that. And at times Seattle can be had when it comes to running the ball on them. And, you know, what a fascinating coaching matchup as well. You got Mike Shanahan, who hasn't coached a playoff game since 05,
mm-hmm.
which is the AFC Championship game when he was with Denver.
Right.
And of course, Pete Carroll back in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years, only this time a team with a
winning record.
Winning record. But you know what's also interesting about Sunday, to put a capper on it, is you have Ravens team and Redskins team, obviously, with the home field advantage, but you also have a Colts team and a Seattle team that have better records than both of them.
Correct. Yeah, both of the road teams, better records than the home teams on Sunday.
I don't think Seattle's going to complain.
No.
Considering, if you remember 2 years ago, and listen, that's just how it is. Those are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had an 11-5 defending Super Bowl champion Saints team visit the 7-9 Seahawks in the first round of the playoffs.
Right. Right. And also, of course, we should point out, I'd love to point out, that you have the top three rushers in the National Football League in action this weekend. Obviously, you've got all day going on Saturday in the late game. But as you mentioned, you have Morris and Lynch both going, who, by the way, Lynch missed by 10 yards, averaging 100 yards per game. Has the NFL ever had three guys in a single season average 100 yards rushing per game?
Yeah, they have. I want to say there was 1 year there were four guys who had 1,600 yards. It hasn't been for a while. And Jamal Charles was less than 100 as well.
Yeah, that's true.
1,500 yards. I can't remember the year off the top of my head. I know I have it written down. But there was 1 year, maybe there was three, possibly four. I'll find it while we talk about the other game.
No worries. All right, sounds good. All right,
No, I got to find it now. The challenge is on.
Oh, okay. All right.
I want that subscription to PFW.
Kevin, duly noted.
Russell needs
the subscription to PFW. All right, we still have that one kind of held aside. All right, so that leaves us then. We hit Vikings Packers. We went Seahawks Redskins. We went Colts Ravens, and that brings us back to one that certainly could directly affect New England as well as the Colts Ravens game somewhat. But this one seems to be more of an interest. It certainly is in my own personal sense, because Houston is at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. If Houston holds home service and wins, then it'll be Houston and Foxborough the following week for the divisional round. But I think that there are more than just a couple of people who give Cincinnati an opportunity here, even at 10-6 overall and getting in with the number six seed in the AFC, mainly because Houston struggled toward the end of the year. So if we are to believe that your momentum going into the postseason is worth something, Houston doesn't seem to have a lot of that. And my guess would be then that there'll be some that will be kind of down on Houston's chances this week.
Well, they look like a team whose confidence is a little shattered. And, you know, that night in Foxborough, it seemed like it took a lot out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Never did I realize that it would be as prolonged, which to me, you know, I think your coaching staff needs to snap people out of here. Now, I know they have had some injuries in the back eight. I mean, J.J. Watt had a tremendous season, but, you know, Brooks Reed and Connor Barwin didn't have the sacks that he did last year. Banged up in the secondary a little. You know, they were missing Jonathan Joseph for a little bit. But, you know, for a while there, they were able to win the high-scoring games as well as the low-scoring games. Now they look like a team. And I don't want to pin it all on the quarterback, but the quarterback, and I think we alluded to this after they played New England, and he's been doing it for, he looks like he's aiming the football rather than throwing it. And he doesn't look like it's coming out of his hand with any confidence. You know, every offensive possession looks like a struggle, except when they give the ball to Arian Foster, who continues to be just magnificent. What another great year by him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that fluid motion and that confidence he had throwing to Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels, you haven't seen it over in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And that's the thing that's perplexing. After a while, no matter how good your defense is, that's going to catch up with them. Now, speaking of good defense, the Cincinnati Bengals have given up 8 offensive touchdowns in their last 8 games. That's quite a run.
Pretty good run.
This is also a very unusual year for the Bengals, because I can tell you the years they made the playoffs in 05, 09, and last year, this was a team that you could book it. If they had a winning first half of the season, in other words, the first 8 games, they were in the playoffs. Those were the only 3 times, John, in the last 20-something years that the Bengals made the playoffs because they got off to a great start. This was a team that was 3-5 at the break and then rolled off 7 out of 8. They're only lost a 1-pointer to Dallas. So This is a team that's played resourceful defense. You know, Geno Atkins, big push up the middle. I think 12.5 sacks he finished with. They were amongst the league leader in sacks this year. Mike Zimmer's done a terrific job with them. I still want to say Houston rights the ship this week, and but this is this is a playoff experienced team, not necessarily with Andy Dalton and AJ Green because they only started the one playoff game. But Marvin Lewis has now had this team in the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. I think that kind of gets buried a little. That the franchise has been a little more successful in recent now. They haven't won a playoff game since beating the Houston Oilers
mm-hmm.
in 1990
yeah.
in the wild card round at Riverfront Stadium. So that drought is long. But, you know, I think Cincinnati is certainly capable. It's going to be, to me, I think it's going to be one of those fast games with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Arian Foster. But the team that can get the push up the middle, and, you know, J.J. Watt is as good against the run as he is against the pass, and so is Geno Atkins. This, to me, is probably the low-scoring game of the weekend, unless, of course, we see the defense score, which, of course, is what we saw last year.
Right.
When you-know-who, J.J. Watt, picked off an Andy Dalton pass and ran it back for a touchdown.
Right. One thing that I will note in this one is that the Bengals have a better away record than home record this year. I wonder if that might play any kind of a factor at all.
Well, they have a portable game plan. And that has a tendency to take it. They've won some tough road games this year. I mean, the Pittsburgh game, remember, their offense didn't score a touchdown against the Steelers. They got an interception return, but they made some heady plays, and Andy Dalton did just enough to get the job done. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes I think expectations at home, I mean, how many times do you see it? Oh, we're home this week. We get so caught up in they're home, so they're automatically going to win.
Yeah.
And we have seen the lack of home field advantage in the playoffs up and down the last 5 or 6 years. Last year, home field turned out to be pretty big. All four home teams won in the first round. The year before in the first round, 3 of the 4 home teams lost.
Correct.
And, you know, we have seen these runs by the Packers and the Steelers and the Giants of winning 3 road playoff games and then going on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So at any one time, let's put it this way. Whoever comes out of this game, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them in the AFC Championship game.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised. I know everybody's got Denver and New England penciled in already.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying which one is which one, but I know every time, just about every time you think you're going to get the beat-all, end-all, the beat-all shows up and the end-all doesn't.
That's true. If the Bengals win, they get to play at Denver. If Houston wins, they get to play in New England.
Right.
That will be the reward for the survivor of the Saturday 4:30 Eastern time kickoff.
Well, it's just really interesting because I have heard nothing about the second round of the playoffs from the NFC, but the AFC is already set because whoever Denver and New England play, they're both going to win. And it's already we already have Peyton Manning and Tom Brady penciled in the AFC title game. And maybe, just maybe, that's how it's meant to be. But, listen, we see it all the time, the big-time disappointment where one team just doesn't show up. Somebody, more times than not, as of late, comes up flat after that layoff.
Yep. I kind of agree, too. And in those four games, somebody's going to come up and probably throw up a stinker, and you're going to wonder, how the hell do they ever get to be a playoff team?
But I totally agree with that. And, by the way, I did find my chart.
Okay.
In 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson with 1,815 yards.
Okay.
Larry Johnson with 1,789.
All right.
Frank Gore with 1,695.
And?
Tiki Barber with 1,662.
So there were four in 2006.
Yes. And by the way, there were three in 2005, three in 2004, four in 2003, which was Jamal Lewis, Amon Green, LT, and Deuce McAllister.
Okay.
Three in 2002, and three in 1997. How's this for an array of talent? Barry Sanders, Terrell Davis, and Jerome Bettis.
Pretty good. Pretty good backs.
By the way, how's this for an array of talent? 1979. Now, of course, the game has changed a lot.
Yes.
Earl Campbell, Walter Payton, and O.J. Anderson.
I like that one.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, and for now, I will also point out that if you go back up entering this year, Chris Johnson had 2,006 yards in 2009, Arian Foster had 16-16 in 2010.
Yeah.
And no player ran for at least 1,600 yards in 2011.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We had that to where we had a two or three or whatever, and now you see it. But I'm a great believer in what has happened this year is with the concentration of teams trying to stop the passing game.
Yep.
The guy with the ball is running by those pass rushers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the main reason why it seems like it's been longer than 6 years
right.
since we actually had, three guys rush for 100 yards a game like that, and it's because we didn't have anybody do it last year. So it just kind of left a little false sense of perception.
Yes, yeah. I mean, what a surprise. Football becomes cyclical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows what we'll see next year and so on and so on, and who knows when the rules will change again and so on and so on. It was an interesting year for the running back, and it was an interesting year for players like Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, who I keep on saying is the MVP this year, is the most valuable physician, not the most valuable player, because it's some astounding – any other year, Jamal Charles may have been comeback player of the year.
Right.
And with a guy running for almost 2,100 yards and Peyton Manning coming back from not playing, pretty astounding. And, covering this game as long as you and I have, 20, 25 years ago, you don't see these kind of comebacks.
No, never. In fact, technology had not gotten to the point where somebody with a devastating knee injury, they were pretty much toasted. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite backs of all time tried as he made a comeback after one of those kind of knee injuries was William Andrews.
Sure.
From the Falcons, and he was a dynamite football player, runner and receiver, and suffered he made a brief comeback, but he was never the same. But, I mean, you remember those Atlanta Falcon teams with him and Kane and Steve Bartkowski and, William Andrews, that was a shame. I thought he was on his way to being a really dominant back in terms of an all-purpose back, but he was also a guy who could run with power as well.
Well, how about, here's another one for you. Patriots fans, undoubtedly, most of them should remember, Robert Edwards.
Yes.
Same guy, same kind of guy, same kind of thing. He had a devastating knee injury. Remember when he went to the rookie, Pro Bowl outing in Hawaii and tore up his knee on the sand, and he was never the same thereafter.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was, you think of all places, he tore it up on the sand.
Yes.
Okay,
right.
But yeah, he was. If I remember right, he tried to make and did make a brief comeback up in the CFL.
He did.
Yeah,
he
but
did
again.
But he was
the guy who looked like he was the part.
Clearly, but
was the part and stuff.
There's no question.
Yeah, but back in the day, tough.
Yeah. All right, Russell, good stuff as always. Thanks for spending the extra time with us on Game Show Thursday and giving us the rundown, obviously, on the wild card games. And we'll look forward to going again next Thursday and talking divisional playoffs.
That's the greatest weekend in football every year, and very few times does it disappoint.
No, it does not. You're absolutely right about that. And we can kind of get a sense now, we think, who are really true Super Bowl contenders next week, too. So that is also a bonus.
You got it, Gene Blank.
Thank you, Mr. Baxter. It's always appreciated, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Russell Baxter, Cold Hard Football Facts, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report. He's got it covered. He's got you covered as well. All right, let's do this. Let's sneak in one more timeout. Give you a chance if you have some questions, football related or not. Open up the phones again. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, or Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. Give me your thoughts on the wild card matchups this week. Who are the Patriots most likely to face? Put on your thinking cap. Look into your crystal ball, you blanks.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance.
With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks, Nelly. All right, a couple of minutes left here on the program. A little time for you on the program if you'd like to do so at 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, web radio at patriots.com, email at JRBroadcaster, Twitter. Juve sends this on email. He says, Happy New Year to you guys. First time I was able to listen to this so-called game show. Worst game show ever. Thanks a lot, Juve. On another note, I thought the Miami game was a good performance for us. And thank you, Indy, for your win. I think our chances of going all the way are pretty good. Keep up the good work. All right. I think he meant somewhat sarcastically. At least I will take it that way. There are a lot of Patriots fans that share your thoughts undoubtedly on Indianapolis's win over the Texans last weekend to give the Patriots the bye this week. No doubt about it. Fish from Woburn sent an email, and he says, thanks for the yearbook. And then he sent us a photo of his dog, Seabass. Actually pretty good. I like this. Wish, Kevin, there was some way we could get this up on a website somewhere. Because he's got a Patriots jersey on, so that's pretty good.
You can put it on your Facebook.
Yeah, I might have to do that. All right, I'm going to hold on to that one then. I'll send it to myself and see if I can put it up on Facebook.
Yeah, you can just save the picture on your desktop and post it on Facebook.
I'll do that. I'll do that. And then one comes from Fabrizio in Italy. Ciao, Rook. Buon anno. Hey, Rook, I think I speak for every fan of the Playbook. Tuesday through Thursday is not the same without our friend John Rook. Playbook once a week is not enough. We need more Rook. And by the way, if Ed Reed gets to free agency, do you think Belichick will pursue him? Well, I know that there's a mutual admiration society thing going on there, kind of like he had with Chad Ochocinco and kind of like I think he had a little bit with Randy Moss there for a while. But I mean, honestly, he doesn't have anything left in the tank. I mean, Ray Lewis is getting out at the right time. You know, the announcement today that Ray Lewis has decided to hang it up after the conclusion of this season is right. He might have gone a year or two beyond his what we would call prime. But frankly, I think our idea, our grandiose idea of players retiring and stepping away, from the games that they have worked so hard to master for so long is absolutely ridiculous. Why wouldn't you, if you'd worked so long and so hard to be at the top of your game doing something, why wouldn't you try to suck every last ounce of energy out of it that you possibly could? Because, there are those of us who, toil from 9 to 5, and I'm kind of speaking in general terms here, but there are those of us who toil from 9 to 5 who can't wait to get to retirement age because you live a life that, quite frankly, it's just kind of meh, it's there. And you don't have, you're not really following the passion that you, may have once had in your younger days. Now, if you're younger, of course, you probably don't quite realize that. Maybe you are lucky enough to be following your passion, and if you are, I congratulate you. There aren't enough people in this world who are doing that. But there are some who, they work because they have to, because they have responsibility, they have family, they have bills, they have mortgages, they have, things that they have to take care of. So you go where the work is. And you might not necessarily be doing something that you really enjoy doing. I get that. So if you're lucky enough to be doing exactly what you've always wanted to do, and I am one of those lucky people, I will admit that, then why wouldn't you want to keep going? You've worked hard at your craft to try to work your way up the ladder, not only, stature-wise, but probably monetarily as well. And look at it from the athlete's point of view. Athletes sacrifice. They do make sacrifice. You think, oh, it's all great. I mean, they're pro athletes. They're rich, rich guys, and they get all this fame and fortune, and people ask them for their autographs all the time. Listen, let me tell you something. There's a trade-off. What you may make monetarily, there's a trade-off in privacy. There's a trade-off in your health. I mean, just ask any guy who's ever had a concussion in football. Go talk to Earl Campbell. We mentioned him earlier in the program. Go talk to Earl Campbell. See how well he moves around. See what he sacrificed for your enjoyment while you were watching him rip the shreds out of NFL defenses over the course of a 10-year period. Not even 10 years. So there is a trade-off here, and so if I'm an athlete and I've worked hard enough, and I have to admit I've pretty much come full circle on this. There was a point in me that said, I want to see an athlete go out on top because I want to remember him as he was. That's bull. You're going to remember him anyway. It's kind of like the whole Brett Favre thing of just a few years ago. Everybody was like, "Oh God, he's coming back again." I understand why he was coming back. I totally get it. He still had the bug. He still had the drive. He still had the inclination in his mind, I can do this. even though physically he may not have been able to do it. But you have to have that swag. You got to have that cockiness. That's what makes you successful. That's what Favre had. And so that's what athletes have. So I don't blame athletes for hanging on a little bit. I really don't. Athletes, if they're lucky, can go out on their own terms rather than someone cutting them loose and saying, you don't have it anymore. Or worse yet, having an injury that ends your career. If an athlete can go out on his own terms, more power to them. Here's Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, bud.
Well, I agree completely with what you just said about Ray Lewis. But as far as this weekend goes, I really think that probably the Texans will get their so-called swag back. I think they're going to get out of their little slump. And they could be a dangerous team, but I really think that's what we're going to be playing. As well as, although I think that Indianapolis is riding on a little luck, so to speak, right now. So I think that they're going to go in there and beat the Ravens on this weekend. Just by watching them, I think that still one out of us, like basically the Ravens and the Texans, they're reeling really hard right now. I think, even though the Ravens, they played bad football for a nice little while, even though they had an impressive performance, maybe against the Giants, I want to say, but I still think they're one of those teams that kind of reels towards the time of the year, and somebody's going to have to knock them out. So out of those two teams, I think the Texans will probably get their stuff back together. And as far as the Ravens, I think that, you know, maybe they're just the kind of luck's going to run out, I think, as far as the weekend goes. And as far as the Patriots, whoever they play, I'm really confident about the team. But no, this is something simple to say, but it's so true. But I really think the only team that's going to beat them is them.
Themselves. Yeah.
Mistakes,
yeah.
Turnovers, all those games that they lost, bad special teams plays, Seattle, San Francisco, and turned the ball over five times. I mean, it should have been 31-3 in the first quarter.
Right.
If you allow a team to not only – I mean, San Francisco's mistakes were, you know, they said 70 yards ago, missed a field goal, you know, fumbled the snap on fourth down, but – having the fumbles and having them running all the way down to the five, those are big mistakes that, you know, that are more detrimental to a team. But I really think during this playoff run that there's one day that the defense isn't going to show up. So they're just going to have to, I think they'll play well. I don't know. I just got that feeling that even though I think they're not going to play well, but it's going to be up to Tom Brady to bring them back.
Yeah, in other words, the offense is going to have to outscore somebody.
Right. Yeah. I think one of these games that they're just not going to show up. So it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And maybe it can be that Manning game, but still, I'm just not sold on the Broncos. Because if you watch those games, Peyton Manning does throw a lot of picks now. I mean, and not really a lot of picks, but there's opportunities during those games to take advantage and get the momentum back in your favor. But with teams like Kansas City and Oakland that he threw it right to them, man, and then they come back out and go three and out. That's something that any team, you know, you're going to have to take advantage of those turnovers.
Right.
That a lot of teams didn't do during those runs that I saw Peyton Manning play. So they're still not – I mean, they're playing better. They just played awful towards the beginning of the year.
But, right.
You know, they're better, but those opportunities to beat them are still out there on the field.
I would agree.
The teams just haven't put it together enough to beat them.
I would agree.
Versus New England will. Which they've had.
Right.
Every single time that we played them, they, you know, turned the ball over, fumbled this, and New England has the offensive firepower to,
right,
you know.
So you think overall, Melvin, that it's more likely going to be Houston next week?
I really believe that.
Okay.
I really think that since that, you know, that I don't think that Houston's crowd with that new franchise and just playing just a rematch from last year, I don't think it's more than – I think the crowd's not going to allow it.
Yep.
You know, they're going to just keep roaring at them and, you know, give that team some – I would love for them not
right.
to be now. I would
right.
love to play Indianapolis first, to be honest. than having Cincinnati go beat up on the Broncos.
Yeah. And that obviously, that could easily happen. And I do give Cincinnati better than just a puncher's chance, but I kind of do like Houston overall, especially with home field advantage. And Melvin, I'll leave you with the final word today. So thanks, Melvin, for your comments and for calling into the program. Our thanks to those who participated in Game Show Thursday earlier this afternoon. And of course, thanks to Eric and Kevin and Russell Baxter for their participation in the program and for everyone who listened in. Hey, Kev, the game show host that we were thinking of earlier, Peter Tomarkin is the guy's name for Press Your Luck. Brent actually sent Tomarkin, but it's Tomarkin. Peter Tomarkin. That's who we were trying to think of with Russell earlier today. That's the guy that used to host Press Your Luck. I think he offed himself.
News to me.
I think he offed himself.
Oh, that's a quality way to end the show.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I don't mean to
way
make
to bring
light
us
of it.
Down.
I know. I don't mean to make light of it, but I think that's what happened.
Making a joke about a guy killing himself.
Oh, God.
Junior broadcaster over here.
And on that note, oh, goodness.
We're going to close out with the match game music.
Nice. All right, we should do that. It's always fun to do this. Always fun to have a little bit of levity put into the process. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. Bill and Todd are coming up with the Football Nation next. We'll be back here same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday as we learn who the Patriots play in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. But it will be, we do know it will be, here at Gillette Stadium. Have a great football weekend. We're back here next Tuesday. See you, everybody.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.